This is Dan Ray, the host of Nightside. I hope you enjoy listening to the Nightside podcasts here at the Nightside website, and I invite you to join us every Monday through Friday night from 8 to midnight for Nightside on WBZ News Radio 1030. We are going to start it off and talk about a family business. The book that I'm looking at is entitled, So You're in the Family Business, A Guide to Sustainability. And we have a father-son team who consult with family businesses, particularly family businesses that are in transition and family businesses that perhaps are going through a difficult transition. So Paul Karofsky and David Karofsky, welcome to Nightside.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Pleasure to be here.
Well, we're going to go, age before beauty here, Paul, okay? because your story, your family has a story of a family business. You and your son work together. I'm sure there are a lot of dads and a lot of moms out there who say, isn't that great to be able to work with a son or a daughter? How tough is it, Paul, for any family business to survive these days, and particularly with the intergenerational family businesses?
Well, we often say that when things go well, there's no greater joy than working together with people you love. But when things aren't going well in a family business, frankly, it can be like no other hell on earth.
And tough to walk away from, I would assume. If you have a job you don't like, you can say, oh, take that job and as the song says, but if you're in a family business, that's a real problem. So
you might get fired, but you're still the son.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So talk about you now have a family business, which frankly is the issue we're dealing with tonight, and it's called Transition Consulting Group. So let's talk about what your family business does. And then let's talk about your background, because you came out of another family business, and I want to get David's perspective as well. The book that you wrote it sort of in tandem.
So we did.
The perspective of the father and the son. Tell us about the family business, family business.
Transition Consulting Group is a firm that works with business families, family members in business together, who may be dealing with a whole range of issues, whether it's entry criteria, whether it's transition from one generation to the next in terms of leadership, resolution of conflict, and so forth. And we have clients all up and down the East Coast and around the country, and even have done international work.
David, I was surprised, we were talking before the show started, the number of family businesses. What percentage of American companies are family businesses? And they're not just all small businesses.
No, they're not all just small. That's a common misnomer, Dan. It's amazing. Roughly about 90% of businesses in America are family-owned and operated. And it's everybody from the mom-and-pop store on the corner all the way up to about a third of Fortune 500 companies are family-owned, including Walmart, the largest company in the country.
Even though it's publicly traded.
Even though it's publicly traded, it's still controlled by the Walton family. And so you really run the gamut in terms of size, of revenue, number of employees, number of family members, and the number of generations. It's everything from, a single generation with two brothers or a sister who start up a company, all the way to the Avitus Zildjian company, which is here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I read about that. They make symbols?
They make the symbols. If you've seen them, you'd know the logo. If you
Back
saw it,
the
it's
15th
on,
century or something.
They are a 14th generation family business currently run by two sisters.
But this goes back to
it goes back
1623.
1623.
3 years after. They were not on the Mayflower.
They
that's
were not,
sure.
no.
So that is the world's biggest symbol maker? When it's symbol, yeah. We're talking about,
symbols or
percussion.
Percussion and certainly in drum sets. And, any rock band is probably using Zildjian or most
Ringo Starr used Zildjian symbols.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've never had Ringo Starr in studio, but I have had a guy named Peter Best, who was the guy who was the Beatles drummer who was fired before they hired Ringo Starr. There's a little
there
trivia
you
for you. Okay, anyway, just coming back, if we could, Paul, to the percentage of the gross domestic product, this was a nation that stunned me.
Yeah, about 85% of the nation's GDP is generated by family-owned and operated businesses. It's a huge number.
And percentage of employment?
About 62. 60%.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and of course, when you think about
The government is not a family business, although I think some families would like to make it a family business. I
well, you look, at, right. you look at the presidency. Yes.
Well, I know. No, trust me. I know that. Trust me.
We won't go there tonight.
We don't have to go there because I ain't going there. Trust me on that. But that's and of course, politics does have an impact.
Absolutely.
We might talk about some of her estate tax provisions, proposals, which would have a huge impact Absolutely. On family businesses. Okay, when we get back, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to talk with Paul and David Karofsky. Their book is So You're in the Family Business. And the subtitle, I think, is really important, A Guide to Sustainability. How do you keep that business going? How do you make sure that the people who you're passing that business on to are going to keep it going? Because I've heard many families, they got a nice little business going, and along comes the sons or the daughters. They don't work as hard as the parents. And I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about what you guys do to help these family businesses remain and grow and remain sustained. The number 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. We're coming right back on Nightside. You may not be the owner of a family business, but chances are you work for a family business, and that family business is going to impact you and your family, whether you're a member of the actual family that owns the business or not.
It's about time we had a little talk.
So let's talk.
Here comes the night.
The Nightside's on 1030.
Nightside.
And all the people were calling, they went.
With Dan Ray, WBZ, News Radio 1030.
We're talking about family businesses. Family businesses you normally think of as small. However, I was reminded by David Karofsky that Walmart's, that's as big a company as probably there is in terms of being family businesses. One-third of the Fortune 500 companies are family businesses. Now, both Paul and David, Paul, you got involved in what was your family business, your dad's family business or your dad's business back in 1967, wall covering business. And how was that a good experience? I mean, it's pretty nice when you don't have to go look for a job and there's a job waiting for you. And I know some people will be jealous out there tonight, but it has to also have there has to be some ups and some downs to that formulation.
Well, for me, Dan, it was a great experience. I loved working with my dad. I joined him after my first pass at graduate school and realized that I wasn't quite ready to be a teacher. And I'd always loved the world of business, always enjoyed it and grew up in it and really savored the time that I spent vacations and school holidays and summers working with my dad in our family business.
How tough is it for any family to function together? I mean, you have the normal trials and tribulations of any family. And you're not spending 8 hours a day, you're spending a lot of time with, in your case, your dad.
It's a whole new dynamic when you're working with a family member as opposed to just kind of being a family member. In families, it's all about equality. If there are three kids at the table and three cookies at the table, each kid gets a cookie. In a family business, we judge people not necessarily for who they are, but for what they do and how well they do it. So the criteria of judging performance is very, very different, and it's important for family members to adjust to that new model.
We got a family member here who joined you in the family
yeah,
business
that's right.
too, David.
So to build on that, and the challenge really for the younger generation, Dan, is that they are under the microscope. Whether they like it or not, whether they believe it or not, everybody in that company knows what car they drive, what time they come in, what time they leave, and how they act and behave in that family business. So there was a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, in the book, you talk about this one family that where they bought the kid an $80,000 BMW.
Right.
That's pretty stupid.
It's certainly.
Did
a
you
nice,
change the names
nice
in the book of these businesses?
Yeah.
I hope that you
absolutely.
That.
Good. We changed okay, the name. Great. We even changed the model of the car.
Good. Okay.
But,
good. Good. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we had to.
But
protect
the point
the
was the same, right?
Well, the point is that you don't want to give a sense of entitlement, and you got to earn your right in. And so when they're coming in, you know, these kids, the next generation, the family business, because they're being scrutinized, it's almost like they have to work twice as hard just to get the equal credit within the business. And that's really an important, it's an opportunity. It's not a right.
Now, when your dad started working with his dad in the wall covering business, yep. which is now out of business, you've sold the company in 1967. You were making $150 a week, if I recall correctly from the book. Okay, which wasn't bad in 1967, but you still had to earn it.
Absolutely.
And did you feel at that time what David obviously felt when he came into your family business, that you were under the microscope of the how many employees did your dad have back then?
At that point in time, we had about 30, 35 employees.
That's a pretty good sized business. Okay.
Yep. And by the time I retired, and actually by the time I sold the business, we had over 200 employees.
Okay, but I'm assuming that there weren't too many employees. $150 today, obviously, is not a lot of money. But back then, Major League Baseball players were making, I think, $7,500, which is about what $150 a week is in actuality. So that wasn't a bad salary back then. Did you feel people looked at you and you had to prove yourself?
I did because, I knew I had to prove myself. I knew I was held to a higher standard, and I knew my dad expected that of me. And it was incumbent upon me to do that, and that was just part of the job.
So, what did you tell your son David when you guys decided, okay, you're going to bring him into this consulting business, which you started in 1991, actually, while you were also at Northeastern University directing a program there, the Center for Family Business. When David decided, or you both mutually decided that you'd incorporate David, what did you tell him?
There was really no message that I had to share with him because he knew it ahead of time. He grew up with me in our family business. Yep. He understood the role that I had and the challenges I faced, and I'd shared that with him very openly. So for him, entry was pretty simple from that standpoint. You knew what to expect.
What was your recollection?
Well, and I was coming in at a different place. I was 39 years old, and so I had already been around the block, had worked in small companies, worked for a Fortune 100 company. So I had been through the experience of corporate. And what the big difference also was, I was coming into a consulting firm where it was just my father and me. So I didn't need to prove myself to anybody in the company. It was just my dad. What I did have to do, however, was really prove myself in the industry. Now, my father really got into the world of family business at a very early point in the life cycle of family business consulting. He was one of the quote-unquote founding fathers of the world of family business consulting. So I really felt the need to be able to prove that I wasn't Paul Karofsky's son in the world of family business consulting, that I was David, and that I could go out and I could cut my teeth and earn my right and sit across the table from a 65-year-old guy with running a multi-million dollar company and be able to give him sound advice and direction.
Okay, so at this point, let's talk about your clients without identifying your clients. Who are the people who are coming to you looking for advice, again, on a guide? The book says A Guide to Sustainability.
So it runs the gamut again. Industry-wise, it doesn't really matter. There's a common denominator is that they're family businesses. The family business dynamic is often a multi-generation family business started by mom or dad, bringing in the second generation. It could be son, daughter, maybe cousins, uncles. It depends. But they're coming to us for a couple of reasons. They may be coming to us proactively where they're saying, we need to put a transition plan in place. I'm getting a little bit older. I'm in my mid-60s. I need a plan. And what does that look like? And how do I decide who takes over the business? What are the needs of the company? What does leadership look like? And then ultimately, how do I transition ownership and equity in the business? Other companies may come to us reactively, where something has hit the fan and there's a real problem.
And it's not good.
And it's not good. There could be tremendous conflict between siblings, between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters or whatever it might be, multi-generation. And there are real issues. The family stuff. So the interesting thing about family business, Dan, is you've got the family and you've got all the dynamics of family.
And you're an outsider.
And we're an outsider, yeah. But you got the dynamics of family that you're now trying to incorporate into a business. And there isn't a family in the world that doesn't have challenges.
Okay, so now my question, I want to come back to Paul. So Paul, it sounds to me like you got a family in some sort of, say the turmoil family. There's some problems. I'm assuming that all of a sudden lawyers are going to get involved. And so lawyers are sitting at the table and you guys, I'm assuming, must do a lot of mediation, or am I totally off base?
Well, no, we've been trained in mediation, but our goal is to try to get in there before the lawyers get in there.
Good luck with that.
Because, you know, and oftentimes we are. Frankly, our goal is to try to keep the lawyers out and help the family.
I totally get that, because clearly when there is strife, and whether it's domestic strife, between a husband and wife, or business strife, commercial strife within a family, once the lawyers get involved, and we think recently of the Demoulas case, mm-hmm. Which hopefully you did not have much to do with. The lawyers are going to walk away in most of those circumstances with a pretty good chunk of what had been a family business. So give me, if you can, we only have about 2 minutes here before we got to take a network break. Give me an example of what you can do. You come into a situation, you parachute into a situation, you got people who are in conflict. How does this resolution process work?
It begins really by addressing communication, by helping each party, by helping multiple family members understand one another's perspective. Where are they coming from? What's the message that they're trying to deliver? How is what they are saying different from what the other person is saying? A lot of it is based on assumption, incorrect assumption, invalid assumption. And we find that people tend not to listen very well. And Stephen Covey said it perhaps better than anyone else. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. And that's a message and some skills that we try to help our clients gain.
And I obviously, if you can just build on that for me, just a little bit, if you would mind, David, and that is, I assume you agree with everything your dad just said about coming in, you parachute in. Is there another aspect or element of that is important as well?
Yeah, I think, sometimes I feel like we act as translators, that there's so much emotion in that, the father's saying one thing and coming from one angle, and the son is saying the other and coming from a different angle. They just simply don't hear each other. And it's our job to come in, as you said, mediate and facilitate a dialogue by where they can get these issues out on the table, address them, recognize that you may not resolve everything, but you got to move on. Because if you live in the past, you're never going to be able to move forward. And the key is, how do you move the family and how do you move the business forward? And that's a lot of our work is focusing on that aspect.
In studio with me, Paul and David Karofsky. They have a new book, which is actually out today, available Amazon, etc. So you're in the Family Business, a Guide to Sustainability. We'll take some phone calls if you'd like to join us, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. If you have a family business, you can give us a call.
Radio.com.
We had so much to talk about.
So we can't speak openly.
I think we should.
You talk. I'll listen.
Always listen to Nightside at Night.
Nightside with Dan Ray.
Always listen to Nightside at Night.
WBZ News Radio 1030.
We're talking about family businesses. Now, maybe some of you own a family business or involved in a family business. Probably most of you do not own or are involved in a family business, but there are a lot more family businesses around than I understood. 90% of American businesses are family businesses. A third of the Fortune 500, we've already learned, are family businesses. Family businesses make up about 85% of the gross domestic product. And when you put that number down, the GDP is about $17 trillion. So you're talking about trillions upon trillions of dollars. 50% of you and me are employed by family businesses. When you think about the number of people employed by the government, that's a lot of people employed by the government. 50% of the nation's workforce or more employed by family businesses. This is an important issue, and we'd like to take your phone calls and your questions. Let's start it off with Gary. Get this going here. Gary is in Arlington. Hello, Gary. How are you tonight? Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Dan. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thanks very much. Our studio audience loves first-time callers, so they love to give a round of applause here. They're very enthusiastic. Go right ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I had a family business. I took my dad's television repair shop over back in 2011. I had to close it down, And it was just the economy and the way things were going. But, boy, he had a successful business from 1955 on.
Now, Kush, when your dad started, they still had tubes and television sets, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I went to school, took some business courses, wanted to be an engineer, but my math skills weren't as good as the rest of my brain.
did the business, when you said, obviously in 2011 the economy wasn't great, did your family business run into trouble because of any interfamilial problems, or was it just your dad passed it to you and it failed because of not only the economy but maybe the new plasma TVs or whatever they call them big screen?
No. I was actually doing factory authorized service work for many of the companies for the LCD and plasma sets. So that wasn't an issue. I would say more than anything, the economy kind of killed things, and the way people, they throw away everything. A lot of people just wouldn't get things fixed after it was out of the warranty period.
And I also assume that as the prices of those televisions dropped, I remember when they were $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and within a brief period of time, they were a percentage of that. Right?
Yeah, that is true. One of the big problems I found was, back in the old days when there were tubes and even solid state, when, before we got into the real flat screens and the plasmas and the LCDs, you'd troubleshoot to component level. In other words, if there was an IC or a transistor, you'd replace it. When the flat screens came out, pretty much all the manufacturers wanted you to replace printed circuit boards, just to take it out like a panel and throw a new one in. And, of course, when you do that, that's a pricey,
What are you doing now that the family business is no longer operational? What are you doing these days?
I'm working right now. I'm working for a medical firm, electronics. Okay. But before that, I was in industrial electronics.
Let me find out from Paul or David. Let me bring them into the conversation. If Gary had come to you with this family business in those days, it doesn't sound to me like there probably would have been much you guys could have done in terms of sustainability, or am I wrong, Paul?
Well, I think oftentimes there's an opportunity for the next generation to make its own mark in a family business. And that may mean kind of changing the direction, changing the focus, morphing the business into something that may be either more relevant or have a greater market opportunity than the existing company. And many, many companies do this, and this is part of making a business sustainable.
So if Gary had come to you in 2011 or in 2010, and he says, I'm really in trouble here, and I might like to try to keep it going, how would have you interacted with him? Gary, I just would like to do sort of a couple of hypothetical questions so people get an idea, either Paul or David.
So I think, Gary, in this case, what we would have done was understand where's the industry going, where the core competencies of your business, and try and say, okay, well, if you have to change your model and you have to change what you're doing in the business based on where the industry is going, let's try and forecast the direction of that and build on that to try and be able to sustain the business and create some new opportunities for you.
And also, Gary, we would want to tie that to your passion.
Right.
What is it you love doing? What is your skill set? What's your unique brilliance of what you can bring to the marketplace? And then try to take that and blend it with what Dave is saying in terms of the opportunity within the marketplace.
Right, right. Well, originally when the business was there, we were more into sales. And basically, sales started to drop off because we had plenty of competition. Actually, down the street, a Best Buy opened up from where we were. So that kind of killed off the
product. A new kid on the block, if you will, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
And which was okay because my passion was service, and I stuck with the newer electronics. Obviously, I'm in electronics, so that's I'm standing the test of time here. The electronics market kind of collapsed for consumer electronics. I mean, really, not too many people are fixing things. A lot of my friends that were in this type of business, there was one in Boston, one in Cambridge, they actually went out of business before I did. And one of them was a family business, too.
So, Gary, you're bringing up an interesting point in terms of so many family businesses they don't want to be the generation that kills the business.
Right. And, I felt terrible, actually, because, you know, I mean, that's a tough thing to get over. The good thing was I found another job within, like, 4 months.
How did your family, your dad, react to the situation?
Well, part of the... My dad had passed just around... He was getting sick around retirement age. And I was already in the business. I was in that business for a long time. But I took it over just as he retired and started to feel poorly. And I said, yeah, I'll gladly take it over. He actually came in and helped me when he could, when he felt good. And then he had passed shortly after, actually. So okay. Probably about eight, 9 years later. Of course, at that time, everything was still going pretty well. I turned the business mainly over to a service business, which I actually increased the profits. Things were going very good. And then that had to be, probably 1999-ish, 2000, somewhere around
Gary,
there.
As long as you don't regret the decision and as long as you've moved on with your life, that's important as well. And I appreciate you taking the time to call.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate it very much. Good night. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Why don't we combine our break here, Rob? Fair enough. We'll be right back. We're talking with David and Paul Karofsky, a father and son. They run a family business themselves, which is a business that consults with family businesses, a Transition Consulting Group. They're located not only here in Massachusetts, but also in Florida. If there are folks who are interested in the book, they can go to Amazon.com. This book is available today. So you're in the family business. A lot of, I think, good advice. I've had a chance to look at a lot of the book, different portions of the book. There was one area that that caught my attention, which I'm going to talk to them about as well. Basically, they had sort of a matrix here. Strengths, internal strengths. What are the limitations internally? The opportunities versus the threats and how you can, I guess, chart those and graph those and put it on paper and get a better sense of what are your pluses and what are the potential threats to your business. If you have a question, feel free to call us, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. We're coming right back on Nightside.
The radio's all yours now.
Yeah! You talk a lot.
Just making conversation.
We're talking, talking, talking. Conversation's knocking. Intelligence is rocking. Nightside.
Nightside with Dan Ray, WBZ, News Radio 1030.
We're going to go back to the phone calls. Bill is in Worcester. Bill, you are next this hour with Paul and David Karofsky. Their book, So You're in the Family Business, A Guide to Sustainability. Go ahead, Bill.
So my question is kind of a couple of prongs on this question,
sure,
I guess.
Go ahead.
So I have been in the family business for 26 years, and my father passed away a few years ago. My brother and I now run it with a couple other partners. And let me get this right. My brother, even though he's older than me, started having his kids after I did. So my son is actually on closer track to, you know, me being able to possibly have him come work for the family business. And I want to have, you know, the entry criteria. But if I set up an entry criteria for my son, who would be in the business 5 years earlier than his son, can that create a lot of problems just trying to create something that hasn't even happened yet?
Great question. I think Paul's going to take that.
Bill, I guess I would say that in the best of both worlds, in the best of all worlds, you and your brother would meet together to establish those entry criteria before they're needed, well before they're needed. It's kind of the day to have a prenuptial, the day to ask your daughter to create a prenuptial agreement is not the same day that she walks in the house and announces and introduces her fiancé to you. You don't want to have it be personal. You want to have it be as objective as humanly possible and have the two of you agree on those criteria that would apply to your kids and your brother's kids as well.
Yeah, and I would guess I would throw in that that we do not, brother and I do not have the greatest communication skill set right now. And anything I do, because I'm going to be the one to hire a son into the business first, just based on pure age, there's going to be some, you know, it's going to be some sticky points.
This is a great problem, gentlemen.
First of all, Bill, you're not alone. That's the good news. The bad news is you're not alone. But the fact is that because, you know, you and your brother may struggle a little bit in your own relationship, all the more reason to address this proactively, that you don't want to set up either your son or your nephew or whomever comes in from the family for failure. You want to set them up for success, which means you got to have a proactive conversation and really establish what are the rules of the game. You'd never go out and play baseball without knowing the rules of the game. And we would say the same thing here. Sit down with your brother, as difficult as it might be, and say, you know what? We got to sit here and we got to plan for the future, that our kids may have an interest in coming into this business, and we got to understand, how do we set them up to be successful in the family business?
And in fact, you know, Bill, it's interesting. We've worked with several families where siblings have not gotten along well, but the cousins have a terrific relationship, because in fact, the parents did set their kids up for success.
Sure.
And Bill, we'll give a website if they're not looking for business, but if you want to talk to them off air, I'm sure they'd be happy to talk with you off air as well.
That'd be great.
Okay, we'll give that website out in the next couple of minutes. Okay, thanks for the call, Bill.
Okay, super. Thank you so
much.
Thank you
very much. Well, there's an actual practical problem. Matt in Framingham. Matt, next on Nightside with my guests, Paul and David Karofsky. Go ahead.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Mr. Karofsky. Mr. Karofsky, thanks for taking my call. First, I just want to say, you know, thank you both for what you do. I'm amazed that you still do it and that it hasn't burnt you out. I'm sure you've seen it all, you know, especially being mediators for a family business. So, again, my hat's off to you, and I wish that I spoke with some gentlemen like you years ago. This family business is, what can I say, I'm both the beneficiary and the victim of a family business, and it's a long, long thing. I mean, you have wonderful days and you have horrible days, and this can go on for years and years and years. And one of the mistakes that I made years ago with my family business is not being more proactive, not really looking at the business as it was a business, and allowing the dynamics of the family to get involved. You know, feeling bad for the siblings. Feeling bad for the parents that were trying to help everybody else, help everybody in the family. And it took some time for me to finally realize and to, you know, try to look at it from the outside, to, you know, try to be almost like a psychologist or a psychiatrist and try to be a mediator. And but by the time I was able to really look at it that way, it was too late. You know, my father passed away. You know, you have a mother who's also in the business, and parents being parents, and you have multiple children there. They tend to pick favorite kids, and that just seems to happen. They tend to enable the underperformer, and you have somebody else that's holding them up. And I guess the best advice that I can give to everyone to this day, and I've pushed through it. I've survived. It cost me a tremendous amount of emotional pain, which we're still going through that healing process now. We've gotten over it. It's cost me a tremendous amount of money and debt that I had to basically take on in being the bearer of the torch and wanting to keep the business going. And it was a difficult decision for me to make to do, and it's because I love the business.
And where are you now? Are you still in business, Matt?
Oh, I'm still in business.
And has the family stayed with you, or are you now pretty much doing it on your own?
I'm doing it on my own.
All right. David wants to make a comment.
So, Matt, you bring up some excellent points, and I think one of the big points you really bring up, which I want to reiterate to the audience out there, is we all have elephants in the room. And we all have issues that we like to bury under the rug. And if you do it, you're going to continue to have those challenges. That we in family businesses need to be able to take those elephants in the room and the issues under the rug and put them on the table and address them. Head on, deal with it, and move on. And it's really hard to do, especially in this part of the country. The old Yankee mentality plays out sometimes. And the issue is that it's going to cause problems in the family and in the business. And we have seen it time and time again that when the business is doing well and revenue's up and growth is there and profitability is there, sometimes those family issues can get put in the parking lot. But all of a sudden, when the economy changes and the challenges are there, those family issues seem to come to the forefront. And we've got to be able to address them proactively.
No, I agree. I agree. Because you know what ends up happening is everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar somewhat. It's just that, and then you get one family member who puts their arm in the hand in the cookie jar or their whole entire arm in the cookie jar.
All right.
And we've seen that. And I looked at it, and for years I bit my tongue. And for years I kind of sat on the sidelines, and I complained and griped. And it was interesting. And my father and I mean, we worked together side by side for 25 years. We had a phenomenal working relationship. He always, out of all the children, of all the children in the family business, he kind of picked me as the son to, you know, give me the keys to the safe, so to speak, the combination, the rights to the checkbook, and things of that nature. But then, unfortunately, when you have a mother in the business as well, they will allow those bad behaviors or those bad work habits to continue.
Well, the bottom line, Matt, and again, we're running out of time here. The bottom line is that you have persevered, and I guess your dad did give the keys to the combination, if you will, to the right person. So congratulations. Yeah. Haven't gotten through it.
Thank you. And my advice to everybody out there is if you're in a family business, bring somebody in like these guys. Bring them in now as a consultant, because it's very difficult to start those conversations with your family members, keep those conversations going, and come to some sort of an intelligent decision-making process and keeping the emotions out of it.
All right, appreciate the call, Matt. Appreciate it very much. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Gentlemen, the hour's gone by very, very quickly. The book is So You're in the Family Business, A Guide to Sustainability by Paul and David Karofsky, father and son, available on Amazon. If folks want to get in touch with you, there's got to be a website, I assume, David or Paul?
Sure there is. Our company website is www.fambizconsulting, F-A-M-B-I-Z, consulting.com. And you can certainly learn more about us and our business, as well as the book. And there are links there to order the book.
The book is very easy to read. And I think that any family business principal, or even for that matter, non-principal, would take an opportunity to read it. So I recommend it highly. Paul, David, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.